This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Saber, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an interview for you from our trip to Oahu.
Yes, the second in our series of releases of these interviews. And this one was a big one for us because we've never interviewed a politician at that point.
Not a state senator, certainly.
Yes. So this is an interview with Senator Donovan M. De La Cruz, who is a Democratic member of the Hawaii State Senate. District 22 is what he represents. And I know we told the story in one of the episodes in our Welcome to Oahu miniseries, but he was, first off, wonderful to talk to.
Oh, yeah, just an absolute delight, and so knowledgeable and friendly.
And secondly, he met us at a grocery store on a weekend to do this.
Yeah, we'd been trying and trying to find a time to get together with him. We really wanted to get his perspective on the food scene out there and the agriculture of Oahu. And it hadn't been working out, and we just finished up our interview with Denise and Roy Yamaguchi over in the complete madness of this poke battle.
Yes.
In a grocery store on Saturday afternoon. And Denise called him and was just like, look, these people are awesome, and you're awesome, and you need to be awesome together.
Yes.
And lo and behold, he showed up in the supermarket.
Yes.
Like in khaki shorts and...
Yeah, very comfortable.
Yeah.
Casual wear. And yeah, it was really great talking to him and hearing some of the issues that he works on, because he is pretty involved in food. And because in Hawaii, tourism is such a big thing there.
Yeah.
And having kind of that perspective of, well, how can we leverage food and tourism, but also be sustainable.
Right, absolutely. Right. Yeah, how can we work harder to support our own community and to feed our own community ourselves?
Right. And as we record this right now, there's all this concern about COVID-19 and coronavirus. And one of the first things that came up when I was looking at what has he been up to lately is that Hawaii is anticipated to take $300 million loss. With loss of tourism.
Yeah.
And Senator De La Cruz was asked about it, and he said, our issue is that we haven't really diversified our economy and we're too reliant on tourism.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is definitely something he is working on and really relevant right now.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we will let former Annie and Lauren and the senator take it away.
So I'm Donovan De La Cruz. Aloha. I'm in the state Senate. I've been in the state Senate since 2010. And I represent Central Oahu, which is Wahiawa, Milani Mauka. And it's where Dole first started. So when I grew up, there were 7,000 acres of pineapple land in Central Oahu.
What was it like growing up with that weird culture?
No, so it was the norm for us. I mean, we saw my grandparents came from the Philippines to pick pineapple. My dad worked in the fields during the summer when he was growing up. So it's difficult to see that Hawaii hasn't really transitioned into a much larger, diversified agricultural society from pineapple and sugar. And so, I mean, I think there's potential. There's some land that has been lost because of development. But it's not that easy just taking pineapple land and turning it into diversified ag, because pineapple requires a different kind of infrastructure.
What are some of the projects and initiatives that you do a lot of work in environmental and agricultural policy? What are some of the projects you're working on right now?
So ever since I got to the Senate, and before I was in the Senate, I was on the Honolulu City Council. So when I was on the council, the city dedicated funds to purchase some ag land in partnership with the state and the army. So we bought about 1,700 acres of ag land that was once Del Monte land, the Monte pineapple, which was right next to the Dole land. And we actually finalized that purchase in 2012, even though we budgeted for it in 2008. So it took 4 years. And since then, I've added more and more money to the budget. And so now we're at about 4,200 acres of pineapple land now in the state's ownership. So what that does for us is now we can provide long-term leases to farmers. Because any private landowner, they won't normally hold up land with a long-term lease. It'll probably be 10, 15 years max, usually 5 years or 1 year. And the farmer can't go to the bank with that kind of lease.
Sure.
So with the state purchasing that land, providing long-term leases, now they can actually have a business plan, they can go to a bank, they can get some investment. And the state also offers rent credit. So whatever you invest into the land for agriculture can actually be credited against your lease rent. But the state's by law can go up to 65 years long-term lease. So that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that a normal amount of time, or is that because Hawaii is so, or Oahu in particular, is so small and so expensive?
Well, land in Hawaii is really expensive. But 65 years actually allows a couple of generations to farm a piece of property.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't see too many young people wanting to stay in ag. And I'm, you know, with a long lease, hopefully that can inspire some people to stay within the family business of agriculture.
These are really big and complex issues. How do you work with the community to figure out what will help?
Well, everybody wants something that they can see immediately. That's difficult. It's, you know, because it takes a while to get money into the budget to buy land, and it takes a while to actually go through the process of releasing the money, spending it, purchasing it. But we also have to put in money for water infrastructure. So once we have the land, that doesn't mean they can farm it right away. So because pineapple didn't need water. It was a bromeliad, rain handled it. And so now when you do diversified ag, you have to put money in for water infrastructure. So we're looking at a variety of solutions. One solution is actually recycling water that is in a nearby lake. And we also bought commercial property so that farmers can process pack where there's already electricity, water, sewer, and hopefully we can create a critical mass and a clustering of ag companies there. And then the other thing we're producing is a value-added manufacturing training facility. You know, so hopefully we can get people interested in becoming entrepreneurs to make more juices, cosmetic products, spirits, candies, cookies, and that can help create a demand for growing certain products as well.
Is it difficult getting your fellow lawmakers on board with these kind of policies?
Well, everybody has a different focus. You know, some people will focus on human services or homeless. Some people focus on education. I think generally people support ag, but with limited funds, it's competing with all these other pressing needs. So all this land that we've been trying to purchase is in my district. So I've been trying to build that inventory up. Hopefully we can get up to 6,000 acres. The other thing we've been trying to do is do a land swap. Well, we proposed a land swap where the state would take private land for in agriculture and trade that for land that the state owns along the rail line. So let the private guys develop around the rail line. They can have that land, and we take all the agriculture and conservation land. That was an idea that we've been throwing around the legislature.
How did you decide to make this your focus?
Well, I tell people I have pineapple juice in my blood because I grew up around all the pineapple fields. My grandparents, my parents, and then my great-grandparents came from Puerto Rico and they worked in the sugar fields. So agriculture has been in my family for 5 generations. I mean, my great-grandparents came in 1901 to Hawaii.
Can I ask what kind of foods you ate growing up?
Oh, I did eat pineapple. I mean, to the point where I stopped eating it a little bit because it was so acidic. Yeah. Now it's not. Now I can drink it and eat it. I mean, you know, Frankie's pineapple here is really sweet. So pineapple has evolved a little bit. We would eat a lot more avocado than I did. You know, people would trade. We'd see lychee. We'd see oranges. Mountain apple here is different in Hawaii. But people would trade a lot. People would have a lot of fruit trees in their yards. I guess now because you have certain kinds of development, people don't have room for fruit trees. And I don't know if people want to take care of them either.
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
And so hopefully that culture changes.
Is there a dish that tastes like home to you?
I ate a lot of Puerto Rican food when I was growing up because my grandmother would make Puerto Rican food. So I always like pateles and venduri rice. And last night I ate a lau lau plate at Zippy's. You know, and I think every local person, if you're local, you love mac salad. And Hawaii fried rice, I think, is very different than any other area's fried rice. Because we just throw a lot of different things in there. So I rather eat fried rice than white rice. It's a lot more interesting and tastes good.
We have some more of our interview, but first we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Let's get back into the interview.
But about 20 years ago, when I was, right before I got in the city council, I actually wrote these guidebooks to hole-in-the-wall restaurants.
Yeah.
And so it talked about these unique delicatessens that were could only be found in Hawaii. And those slowly disappeared, so you only have a few left. It was called Okazu Hungry. This is 20 years ago, but... So the delicatessen would be a buffet line of different types of noodles, different types of meats, different types of fish, and prepared differently. And what was unique about it is it would be all different based on different ethnic groups. So you would see Filipino-style cooking, Chinese-style cooking, Japanese-style cooking, and those were all the different ethnic groups that came to Hawaii to work in the sugar pineapple. And you would just pick and choose, oh, I want that musubi, I want that corned beef hash, I want this sausage, I want that... That would be our bento box. And so growing up, we would always want to go to the Okazuya to go get a bento box for our field trips. I mean, that was like a special treat.
That sounds so good. How else have you seen the food community develop and evolve? I mean, since you were growing up, but also since you have been involved in the government.
Well, there's been a lot of changes. I mean, with food safety, with financing, with water infrastructure, and now you see a lot more greenhouse production. You see production within buildings, not even greenhouse, within buildings. And so ag is changing too. So you really have to focus a lot, and for curriculum-wise, where for our students, they got to understand how to work the greenhouse, how to program the greenhouse, how to manage it. And they got to figure out a business plan of what crop they're going to specialize in. So it's not, I think it's evolved so much. Especially now with Hawaii brand, you can export quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, is it cool? Is it a good... influx of money into the system?
Well, if you have a good value-added product that is good quality, good brand, you can make a niche for yourself. I mean, we've seen ice cream sandwich shops that's locally made on the North Shore, or this one shop called Uber Factory that make these little ube cookies, and they sell out. I mean, they sell out, and they're very interesting. They don't want to grow too big because they don't want to make the product too generic. They want to keep it unique, and yet they make enough money where they can buy a house, they can travel. You know, they're not a struggling farmer. So we got to figure out how to get farmers to become more revenue generating, and that can be assisted with more value-added products.
Yeah. Are you involved with the Food and Wine Festival?
Yeah, I mean, the state supports it, and you know, one of the things that I really like about what Denise has been doing is she tries to take an emerging crop so that we can, like, I'll give you an example of breadfruit.
Sure.
Or Kalamun guy. And they'll give it to all the participating chefs to come up with recipes so that the local palate becomes more familiar with it so we can start to scale up these crops. I mean, I know oftentimes Alan Wong will use goat and all these different festivals to get people interested and change their perception. Tilapia was used, you know, sunfish, so that we can figure out really how can we grow more locally, have that palate for it so that we don't have to import.
I have two questions related to that. The first is, Denise was telling me that you're trying to grow, is it mamakai tea?
Mamaki tea, yeah.
Yes, and she said it that I should ask you about this experience.
So we have about 50 trees in my yard now. And so we've been processing mamaki. We've been growing it, cutting it, processing it, and we've actually started wholesaling it. So it's a lot of work. I mean, it took a long time to figure out a system so that you can be efficient. We're probably not making money yet, but we got to figure it out so that we can actually have a sustainable business. But it's local, it's unique to Hawaii, it's very healthy for you, and it's the demand is growing. And the other thing I'm trying to grow is vanilla. It finally started to flower after a couple years.
And congratulations.
So the flower only lasts a couple hours. So you need to self-pollinate that. And at first, I think I was doing it wrong because it's not that easy to figure out. But then a neighbor who also has vanilla taught me how to do it, and it's been working. So now the flowers have been dying on the vine. Because if it dies and it falls off, that means it didn't pollinate. But if it dies on the vine, that means it pollinated. So you'll see the dead flower start to turn into a bead. It'll turn black.
That's amazing. Could you tell us more about the tea? What's the like flavor profile of it?
Oh, it's light, it's healthy. It does taste a little, to some people, a little earthy. But it's very medicinal. I mean, for a lot of local people, I mean, they find medicinal values, and it helps with blood pressure for some people, helps clean you out. But it's relaxing. It doesn't have caffeine. So for people who have like high blood pressure, they don't need any more caffeine. They don't want to get excited. I mean, it's a good tea. It's relaxing. And you can mix it with other things. Sometimes I mix it with lavender when I make it. But it's hard to process because it's such a fine leaf. Once it's dried, it can turn into powder if you process it too fast. And then the powder is not good for tea bags. It'll end up clogging the tea bag. So that's part of our process. And so I had to go buy a sifting machine. So we're processing the tea. We have the tea. Now we're putting the tea in a sifting machine so we can take out the powder. And now I'm trying to figure out another product that we can make with the powder. Trying to figure it out.
Why did you decide to start growing it?
Well, I wanted to be an example. I've been telling people for 9 years, hey, we need to start these things. And very few people have made a go of it. A lot of people have, you know, talked about it. So I figured, you know what, I'm just going to do it and see if it work. Lead by example. Yeah, so it's called Kilani Brew because it's a little street. There's a street in Wahewa where I live named Kilani Avenue. So I just named it Kilani Brew. And Kilani in Hawaii means heavenly tea. So it's Kilani Brew Mamaki Tea. So we need more. So we're planning on negotiating a larger lease for about an acre so we can grow more tea. So I'll give you some next time you come. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Some of the things, I feel like you've touched on some of this already, but what do you find are some of the unique challenges and benefits of being on an island when it comes to food law and policy and what you do?
So we should be able to replace a lot more imports. There's no doubt. But we just have to scale things up, and we have to match the demand with production. And so if we, even just our own schools, hospitals, local, that the state owns, prisons, airports, if the state made a commitment to say we're only going to buy local, then local farmers know that they'll have a consistent customer, which will help them plan, and which will help other people say, well, I'm outgoing that business now because it's more predictable. So we got to figure out a way to make agriculture more predictable with all these different systems. And then that base, once it's revenue generating, helps us to go into other things and take more risks. But Hawaii, besides that, Hawaii has such a strong brand that we could do a lot more value added. You know, and we get in 10 million visitors a year. So a lot of it doesn't even have to be shipped. 10 million people coming through a year, we could sell a lot of value-added products.
Are you working on any projects to that end? Denise said you have a lot of things going on.
We're working with the university, like I mentioned, to do a value-added manufacturing processing facility. A couple of us went to New Zealand. We saw they had those food little pilot areas where you could go in with a recipe and they'll help you figure out your value-added product with your business plan. So we're trying to create a curriculum, and I know Denise is as well. They're working with the high schools to come up with classes on how do you come up with concepts for value-added products, developing it and actually coming up with a business plan. And we have good examples now. I mean, Big Island Candies, I don't know if you've been there, but they export quite a bit. And they're well-known. They're here in the mall, so if you have time, you can go look at it, Big Island Candies. But we could do more. I mean, I think there's so many niches that we could find. And it's a great climate to grow things.
Yeah, there's so much here that I knew there was a lot of products, things that I wouldn't find necessarily grown where I am from, the South. But there's like a lot more than I anticipated. There's so much you can go see. Like the lavender thing blew my mind. Like I've never even considered where lavender comes from.
Yeah. Well, we can do other things. We can do vanilla. We could do chamomile. You know, our climate is such that we can grow a lot of different things because we have so many different microclimates. We just need more entrepreneurs to kind of take those ideas and make a go of it. And then if the state can figure out a way how we can provide incentives so we can allow some predictability and allow people to take risk in some of those investments, then that's something that we should consider and how we can help. Provides jobs, you know, increases our diversity, our product, and hopefully it enhances the visitor experience too.
Yeah, as you said, so there's 10 million people come through, tourists?
10 million a year.
Wow. So
compared to a population of about...
Oh, we're 1.4 million people.
And I would say, and from some of the people we've talked to, it sounds like Hawaii is becoming more of a food and drink destination where it hadn't necessarily been that before. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, especially with the rise of Hawaii regional cuisine about 20 years ago. And the Visitor Bureau really, they used to do all kinds of promotions, sending chefs around the world. I think social media has changed that a lot too, because then people can access it and see it a lot more. And there's a lot more competition. I mean, now we have the Culinary Institute kind of creating pathways for aspiring chefs. And you can see, even a grocery store, you can see just this grocery store. It's not the same kind of grocery store we grew up in. I mean, it's like part restaurant, part, you know, there's food contests in the restaurant. Who would have thought that, right? No, never. So it really has evolved a lot. It's more participatory.
There is a little bit more of this interview left, but first we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing. Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And back to the interview.
Is there anything in particular you're excited about in the future? Any projects for yourself or Hawaii at large that you're...
Well, I mean, if we can create more entrepreneurs so that we can get more local people to stay and not move away, and more people to make a living wage, then they can stay in Hawaii and have a good quality of life. But it's all part of systems that we got to build, coordinate, and support. But it'll take one step at a time.
Has Hawaii always been home? Like, did you always know that you were going to...
I mean, we have this word in Hawaii. It's a Hawaiian word called kuleana. And if anybody... I mean, I'm sure a lot of people talk to you about aloha and maybe ho'oponopono. But, I mean, one of my favorite Hawaiian words is actually kuleana. And that's, what's your obligation? What's your responsibility? What's your commitment to... either your family, to your community, to your neighbors. And I feel like that's my kuleana, is to turn my community into a better place for the future, so that people can have a better quality of life. Not just young people, but people aging in place too. You know, because food is evolving so much, where with a large geriatric population, even food has to kind of change a little bit to match that. And Hawaii has a high... percentage of an aging population. So does Japan, so does the U.S. So we're like a good gateway for that kind of innovation. You know, we just have to own that space. I mean, there's so many opportunities with energy, food, aging. We just have to be a lot more aggressive in these ideas of how we're going to become globally competitive or relevant. Well, hopefully you guys take some time to go to a lot of hole-in-the-wall restaurants. So, I mean, if you need some ideas, but there's some restaurants that I know, I forgot the name off the top of my head, but it's in my second book, The Puka Guide. So what happened with that was, after we did the Kazu Guide, we were at Walden's, which no longer exists. And we were book signing. And people would say, well, what's your next book? And so we're like, oh, what's our next book? So we came up with the Puka Guide, which means, Puka in Hawaiian means hole. So hole-in-the-wall restaurants. That didn't mean. And then the last book was called the Omiyage Guide. So that's gifts, like cookies, candies, manapua. So it's all these little things that make Hawaii unique. It's the small restaurants, the small family restaurants around the corner. That you can't find anyplace else. So that's the kind of thing I hope you guys can take a little tour on and find more of those.
That brings us to the end of this, our second full interview released from our trip to Hawaii. I love how at the very end, that's when we found out he has, we knew he had a book like of Hole in the Walls.
Yeah.
Like he was our people. He was
yes.
our people.
Oh.
And we kept running into that in so many people we talked to while we were in Oahu of just this eagerness to share all of the places that they love.
Yeah.
And all the food and drinks that they love. And the fact that he had a hole that
yes.
used to be his thing. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll give it to you. You got to make sure.
He's like, hold on. How much longer are you here? Okay, hold on.
Yes. Yes. We can do this. We can make this happen. And as a busy senator, I just appreciate so
yeah.
much. He was like, no, I really want you to go check out some
oh,
of these
gosh.
Places.
And just, yeah, and all of the time that he took out of his day to come yeah. and speak with us. So thank you so much to him again. And again to the Yamaguchis for getting us in touch.
Yes. Yes. And the wonderful poke bowl.
Oh.
Poke madness.
Oh, so wonderful and so madness.
We loved it. If you would like to email us, we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.